Today's daf is Shkolim daf Yud Ches, and we are four lines from the bottom of daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, the two dots, Tani Mizrach Umayrev. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leia, Moisha Abba ben Devora, Shmuel ben Tehila, and Chaya Devora, Basara Sprinza. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus V'Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral. Today's daf is also being learned in honor of the wedding of Ben Zion Ben Esther and Miral Bas Esther Chana, as a schus that the zivug should be oily yafa. And finally, today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibodol Chaim Toivim Ramoisha Chaim. So we're in the midst of another digression, and the Gemara is talking about the Yud Gimel Shulchanos that were in the Beis HaMikdash. The 13th was the Shulchan that we're all familiar with, and that is the Shulchan that was in the Heichal, the Shulchan that had on it the Yud Beis Chalos, the Shulchan that had on it the Lechem HaPanim. The Gemara mentioned that even though in the Mishkan there was one Shulchan that was inside the Heichal, the 13th Shulchan, in Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, there were an additional 10 Shulchanos. The Pasuk says, Vayas Shulchanos Asara, Vayonach Beheichal Chamisha Miyamin, Vehei Mismal. The Gemara brought a Machlokes Tanam. What exactly happened with those Shulchanos? The Chachamim Shita is that those Shulchanos were just there. They were part of the Tzura of Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, but there weren't Yud Beis Chalos that were placed on them. In fact, they had no purpose at all. As it relates to the Lechem HaPanim and the Shnei Bezichei Levoina, there was one Shulchan in the Mishkan, and there was one Shulchan in Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda argued. He said that Al Kulan Hoya Mesader, no, that all 11 Shulchanos were used for the Sidur of the Lechem HaPanim. Either way, the Gemara is going to continue on this note. Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Mizrach Umayriv Hayu Nesunim Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that the way that the Shulchanos were lined up was east to west. So it was Mizrach to Mayriv, literally across the width of the Heichal. Rabbi Shimon said, Tzafin to Darim Hayu Nesunim. No, it went Tzafin to Darim. So according to Rebbe, it was Mizrach to Mayriv. According to Rabbi Shimon, it was Tzafin to Darim. Says the Ramadam, Mizrach Mayriv Nicha. According to the Ramadam that says that it was Mizrach Mayriv, I understand. Kulam Ruyan L'Sheiros. They were all Ra'i, technically L'Sheiros, meaning these are Shulchanes. And if they were Shulchanes, you would think they had to be placed where the Shulchan was. Now the Shulchan was on the Tzafin side of the Heichal, which would then require, you would think, that all of the Shulchanos, even Shloim HaMelech's additional 10 Shulchanos, to be on the Tzafin side of the Heichal, which meant that it would all have to be along the Tzafin wall, which is all Mizrach U'Mayrif. So according to Rebbe, that says it was Mizrach U'Mayrif HaYunasunan, along the length, not the width, along the length of the Heichal, it makes sense. They're all on the Tzafin side, and they're going Mizrach U'Mayrif. Mandama Tzafin V'darim, Nimtza Shulchan V'darim. According to Mandama, that says that the way the Shulchanos were lined up was along the width of the Heichal, it went from Tzafin to Darim. That means you're going to inevitably have Shulchanos that are going to be on the Darim side of the Heichal. That's a problem. I thought the Shulchan was supposed to be in Tzafin. And the Gemara in Yerushalmi style just goes weiter. So if this was a Bavli, the Gemara would either say Tiyufta, assuming there's no answer to this question, or Kasha, if there's a Teretz that the Gemara thinks is a little bit Dachuk. The Gemara just does what it does, and that is go weiter. Tani, we learned in another Braisa, Shulchan Hayu Nasun Mechatzi Habayis. So we mentioned yesterday a little bit in the Raid Bite, the classic Meshach Chachma in the beginning of Parshas Tetzava, that in addition to some of the differences between the Kalim of Shloim HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash and Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan, there were also differences in terms of the dimensions of the actual structure. So the Mishkan, the Heichal, which means the Oyel Moed, together with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was 30 amas long by 10 amas wide, and 10 amas tall. It was 30 by 10. Whereas the first Beis HaMikdash of Shloim HaMelech was 60 amas long, and it was 20 amas wide. So, not 30 by 10, but double that. It was 60 length, and it was 20 along the width. Now, the way the 60 amas of length of the Heichal was divided was 40 of the amas made up the Heichal, and the balance, the other 20 amas, made up the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So with that introduction, says the Gemara, HaShulchan, the Shulchan HaYonasun Mechatzi HaBayis V'lefnim. It was from the midway point of the Heichal, V'lefnim, towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if you take the Heichal, which is 40 Amis. It's 60 Amis in total, but 20 of the Amis make up the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The other 40 Amis is the Heichal itself, so the midpoint would be 20 Amis. So 20 Amis in from Mizrach, meaning it was in the 20 Amis closer to Meiriv, closer to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Mashuch min HaKosel, Shnei Amis HaMechza. It was also removed from the wall. It was on the Tzofen side, but it was 2.5 Amis off the wall, Klapi Tzofen. U'menoira connected to Darm. And the Menoira was the same exact thing towards Darm. Meaning the Menoira and the Shulchan were exactly opposite each other. One was on the Tzafan side, and the other one was on the Darim side. Mizbeach Hazav. What about the Mizbeach Hazav? So there were two Mizbeachos in the Mishkan, there were two Mizbeachos in the Beis HaMikdash. One was the larger Mizbeach that had the ramp. That's where most of the Karbonos were brought. That was known as the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. It was also known as the Mizbeach HaChitzot. The other Mizbeach was the one that was inside the Heichal. That was a much smaller Mizbeach. That was known as the Mizbeach Hazav, because it was made of gold. It was also the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaKtoris. That's where the Ketoris was brought. So the Mizbeach Hazav was in the Heichal. So in the Heichal, you had the Shulchan, you had the Menorah. You also had the Mizbeach Hazav. So where was that? Says the Braisa, Hayunasum be'emtza abayis. It was in the middle of the Heichal, Chilek es abayis. In fact, it divided the room in half. It was literally in the middle of the Heichal. Michetzioi v'lifnim. Now, stating that, it had to be in the part of the Heichal that was closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like the Shulchan and the Menorah were, so too was the Mizbeach Hazav. Mashuch kima klapei chutz. However, it couldn't be literally in between the Menorah and the Shulchan. And the reason is because, again, the Menorah and the Shulchan had to be facing each other. The Pasuk says, V'samto es ha-Menorah noichach ha-Shulchan. So it means that the Menorah and the Shulchan had to be facing each other. If you would interpose the Menorah and the Shulchan with the Mizbeach Hazav, it would be a hefsek. And that wasn't something that you're allowed to do. V'kulan hayu nesunim mishlosh ha-bayis b'lifnim. So what comes out, says the Braisa, is that all of them, meaning the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach Hazav, they were all in the Heichal, but they were all in the middle third of the Heichal, meaning the Heichal, which was made up of 20 Amis, 20 Amis, and 20 Amis, really 40 and 20, 40 of Heichal and 20 of Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you take the Heichal and you divide it into two groups, it was all within that 120 Amis space. That's where the Shulchan was towards Safin, that's where the Menorah was towards Darim, and that's where the Mizbeach Hazav was in the middle, says the Brai Savai, the Esim Menorah is also Shleim. Just like the Gemara said that there were 10 Shulchanos, additional Shulchanos that Shleim HaMelech made, there were also 10 additional Menorahs that made Shleim. The Pasuk says, Yassis Menorahs Hazav, five will put to the right, five to the left. So the Gemara says, "Inteim chamish betzafin v'chamish bedarim." What does it mean? Five to the right, five to the left. Doesn't mean that five were to tzafin and five were in darim. Meaning five of the menorahs would have been in tzafin. V'leim menorah k'sheir el b'darim. The menorah had to be in darim. Shenema the pasuk says, "Vesa menorah noichach shulchan al tzera hamishkan teimana." The pasuk says clearly it had to be facing the shulchan. The shulchan was in tzafin, which means the menorah had to be in darim, and it's mefurish. Tzela hamishkan teimana. Teimana is darim, so it had to be in the darim side. So how could you have five menorahs in Tzafin? Ma Talmud loy mar chamish miyamin v'chamish mismail must be elo chamish miyamin menorahs shal Moshe v'chamish mismail. Similar to what the Gemara said as it relates to the Shulchan on the Tzafin side, you had the same exact thing on the Darim side. You have to say that as it relates to the 10 additional menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made, five were to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, and five were to the left of the menorah. Afal Piking, Loihoya Maver, Elo Shal Moshe Vavat. Even though there were 10 menorahs, 10 additional menorahs, but the Kohen Gadol only lit one. He lit the one of Moshe. Shenema, the Pasuk says, in Divrei Hayamim, U'menorahs Hazav, V'neiro Yisrael, Levar Be'er Ba'erev. The Pasuk says, U'menorahs Hazav, menorahs is a Lashon Yachid. So it sounds like that even in Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, even though you had 11 menorahs in total, Moshe is one, and Shlomo is additional 10, but they only lit one. Rabbi Yehuda argued. He said, "Al kulan hayam aver." No, they used to light all 11. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Ves haminoy rois." Here the Pasuk says, that's Haminoi Rois, which is a Lashon Rabbim. So the same machloikis between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim that we had in yesterday's daf regarding the Shulchan, we have here in today's daf regarding the Menorah. Shlomo HaMelech added 10 Shulchanos. He also added 10 Menorahs. What was the purpose of these additional Shulchanos and these additional Menorahs? According to the Chachamim, they were just there. Part of the tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. But there was no avodah that was actually done with it. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, both the 10 additional Shulchanos and the 10 additional Menorahs were used in the same way the original Shulchan and the original Menorah was used. So more on the topic of Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash, specifically the menorahs of Shlomo HaMelech. So Shlomo HaMelech made 10 additional menorahs. The pasuk over there in Divrei HaYamim discusses these menorahs. And it says, Ve'es HaMenorahs V'Neirahs Sehem, Zahav Sagur, V'HaPerach V'HaNeirahs, V'HaMilka Chayim Zahav Hu, Michlois Zahav. So what does it mean, Michlois Zahav? Hin Kihilu Zahav Shal Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech used so much gold to make these menorahs that he literally... He consumed kilo miloshin. He just finished off. He wiped out all the gold that they had from Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanu Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda taught in a brayso b'shem Asi, in the name of Asi. Hoyu Shlomo noitel alef kikrei zahav. What happened? Shlomo HaMelech took 1,000 kikrei zahav umachnis on the kor and he put it into the refinery into heat umaitzion and he took it out achu mamidon al echad until finally it became kikar echad. The kaim mashenemar to be mekayim the pasuk that says kikar zahav tahar asa oisa. It says in the Torah that the menorah had to be a certain shear. Pasuk in Parshas Truma. How much did the menorah have to weigh? So the pasuk says very clearly, kikar zahav tahar yasa oisa. It was supposed to weigh a kikar of zahav tahar. Now how much is a kikar? So Rashi in Chumash makes a whole cheshbon. He says a kikar shel chayil is the equivalent of 60 mana. Now all the measurements of hektish are double the measurements of chayil, which means v'shal kodesh hayu kafel meyav v'esrim mana. It was the equivalent of 120 mana. Rashi goes into even greater detail to describe what this weight was. But the point is, the menorah had a way, a kikar of zahav tahar. Now, in order to get it to a kikar, what was needed was to refine the oil. Meaning, Shlomo HaMelech had big chunks of oil, but he put it through the fire, he refined it, and he refined it more, until finally he was able to get it to the point of kikar zahav. How many tries did it take? He took 1,000 kikre zahav, and he just did it again and again and again until finally he was able to get it to kikar. This is all the gold that was wasted. This is what it's referring to. There was a story, this happened during Bayesheni, where the Yidden had a menorah, and the menorah was a dinar zahav bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, meaning it weighed a dinar zahav more. They wanted to get it down to the perfect amount, which is the kikar. They put it into the kor 80 times for lechasra klum, and they couldn't get it to become any smaller. So what's the kasha? It's a technical question. The Gemara's not asking a halacha question, but the Gemara's asking more of a science question. And that is, here we have a brisa that says, Shlomo HaMelech took 1,000 kikrei zav, he refined it until it became one kikar. It sounds like they knew how to refine the zav to get the measurement that they needed for the menorah. And here we have a maisa shahoya kachoya, where there was a menorah that was just a dinar zav too big, and they put it into the kor 80 times, and they couldn't figure out how to get it to the right measurement. But the Gemara says, V'yos, what kind of kasha is this? Adula yakim al brore have a chas a second. Min du koyim al brore loy chas a klum. In English, until what they were able to refine it, but up to a point. So once it got to a point where they couldn't refine it anymore, then they couldn't refine it anymore. So if you start up with 1,000 kikaros, yeah, then it's possible to refine it again and again and again until you get to the perfect weight. In terms of this, it had been so refined, the gold, that it simply was impossible. Zok, the Mishnah Vayta, we're going to get back to this in the Raid Bites, but for now, we return to the regular program, which at this point, it's not even clear what that is, but we're in the middle of this digression, and the Mishnah is going to go back to another one of the things that the Mishnah mentioned 13 of, and that is Shloisha Asur Shofaros. There were 13 Shofaros Hayu Bamikdash. So what was the purpose of these 13 Shofaros? So these were baskets, quote-unquote, shaped like a shofar because of the Ramayim. And the purpose was that if someone had to make a donation for whatever reason, there were kiosks stationed everywhere. It was impossible not to be able to donate. But the truth is that the Mishnah says that all 13 of these shofaros had their own purpose. So it's not like they were interchangeable. But each shofar served a specific tachlis, says the Mishnah. Because of Aleh, they read as follows, Tiklin Chadatin, V'Tiklin Atikin, Kinin, the Goyz Le'ayla, Eitzim, Levoina, Zav Le'Kfeiros, not Kapiros, but rather Kfeiros, the Shisha Le'Nadava. So what does this all mean? Tikkun Chadatin. The first one I mentioned was Tikkun Chadatin. Shebechol Shana V'Shana. That's very simple. Somebody was donating the Machzis HaShekel. He wanted to put it into one of these Shefaris. He was able to put it into one of these Shefaris. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. If this always happened, meaning we're talking about any Yid that heard the call and the Echad Ba'adim HaShmir Al HaShkolim, and now he wants to donate his Machzis HaShekel. So he gave it, and then the shliach that brought it up to the Harabais would always put it into the shayfaris, and from there it went into the lishka. Or we mean maybe certain situations where a person maybe didn't give it in the proper time, and now he showed up at the Harabais and he's trying to find someone to take his money, so he could just put it into the shayfar and leave it there. Meaning, was this a necessary step in the seder of the machzas hashekel, or it was vir punkt in the event that it was needed? But either way, the first shofet that the Mishnah mentions is the tiklin chadatin, and that was there for the machzas hashekel. Va'atikin, what's that? Mishaloi hevi eshtakid, shekel l'shanaba. If somebody wanted to give the machzas hashekel, but for whatever reason he missed the cutoff, so there was a fiscal year related to the machzas hashekel, and you can't give last year's machzas hashekel this year. One of the themes of Masechtish Golem. So what if somebody has Fayurigiz machzas hashekel? So you can't put it together with the shayfris that are going to be used to buy the Karbanos Sibur for this year, because this money, it's a different use of proceeds. You're not allowed to put it there. So instead of putting it there, you put it together with the Tiklin Atikin. Atikin means old. You put it with last year's Golem. Mishlei Hevi Akinim. What was the Kinim for? This is for the Tyrim. These are one of the types of birds that are allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. So a carbon can sometimes be an oif. It could be a bird, but not all birds. Only Tyrim and Bnei Yoyna. So there was a separate shofar for someone that was putting money in for a carbon that was going to be one of the Tyrim, and there was a special one for one of them that's going to be the Bnei Yoyna. Kulan oilis. And they were all for oilis. Meaning an oif can be either a oila or a chatas. So these shayfaris were only used for oilis. Divri Rabbi Yehud v'chamer, the chamer argued, they said kinin. No, the one that said kinin was echad chatas v'echad oila. The distinction wasn't between tyrin and bnei yayna. You need a separate shayfar for tyrin and a separate shayfar bnei yayna. No, but rather the two shayfars were delineated as follows. The one that said kinin was for the chatas and the oila. So if the kinim were going to be one chatas, one oil, it's always a pair. So it's going to be one chatas and one oil. So then they went into kinim shayfar. That was for kulan oils. That was for someone that was only going to bring an oil. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. The next shayfar mentioned was eitzim. So what's that for? That's for someone that said, I want to make a donation. I want to donate wood for the maracha. The Yidden went through a lot of wood in the Beis HaMikdash. So if somebody wants to make a donation of wood, you could place the money in the shofar that says eitzim. Says the Mishnah, if someone simply says harei olai eitzim, so how much eitzim are you supposed to bring? Yifcheis mishnei gzir. The minimum amount is 2 logs of wood. Levaina. What if somebody says he wants to bring levaina? Why are we talking about levaina? Because that's the next shofar mentioned in the Mishnah. It says levaina. Yifcheis mikoimetz. You have to give a koimetz. We know what that is. Lashon kmitza. You have to give a koimetz worth of levaina. Zahav. What if somebody says, I want to give gold? That's the next shofar that was mentioned in the Mishnah. You have to give a dinar of zav. More about that in the Gemara. And then finally, shisha l'nedava. The latter 6 were all in nedava. What was the point of this nedava? So they would buy with it oilois. So there was a separate shofar, but not just one. 6 shofars that were used to buy oilois. Now the purpose of these oilois, before we see the Mishnah, it's because there's a halacha that says that the Mizbeach was never allowed to be left idle. There always had to be activity on the Mizbeach. So what happens if there's simply no karbanos? Right now there's no karbanos being burned in the Mizbeach. So what they would do in the Beis HaMikdash was, is they would take oilois. These oilois would be oilois nedava, because no one's really chayiv to bring this oila right now, and they would put it on the Mizbeach. They would treat it like an oila. It was kula kolol. The ur, the skin went to the kehanim. It was treated like a regular bona fide oila. But the purpose of the oila wasn't for any kapara. It was simply for what Chazal referred to as kayetz HaMizbeach. So like this, the Mizbeach would never be idle. There would always be activity going on. Now, when was monies taken and used for these oilas? So if somebody wanted to make a donation for it, we accept donations. But at the same time, there were also times where there was a shail of what exactly to do with the particular money or the particular hektish that we had. And very often, Chazal would say, you know what, we're not really sure what to do. An asham shenita gleria. So what do? You wait until it gets a mum, and then you sell it, and the money goes for an oil. What type of oil? It goes for this type of oil. Right, so there were different types of situations where Chazal didn't really know what to do with the money. So they said, we're going to put this towards... Now, it must have been a lot of money, because there were 6 shayfaris that were used for it. So just based on the amount of shayfaris that were used, shishal and adava, so there must have been a lot of activity. But either way, so what was the purpose of this? Loikhan ba oilois, abasa, Lashem, and with these oilois, the basar went to Hashem, like every oil, all the basar goes to Hashem, it's not even eaten, and va'oiris the kayanim, and as it relates to the ar, the skin, that went to the kayanim. Says the Gemara, zem medrash darish, yahayadu kayun gadol. Yahayadu kayun gadol had the following drasha. It says in the Torah, Asham hu, Asham, Asham Lashem. It's mashma from this pasuk that an Asham is supposed to go completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning a Kohen doesn't have a chelik in an Asham. Now we know an Oyla Kohen doesn't have a chelik in. Or at the very least, in the Basar, he doesn't have a chelik in. Here it sounds like the Asham, literally the entire Asham is supposed to go. And Yehoyada, Kohen Gadol, was very bothered by this. And the reason he was bothered by this was because there's psukim in other places that seem to suggest that the Asham's not like that. In fact, the pasuk says, Kechatas Ka'asham. That's a theme in Seder Kachem. Kechatas Ka'asham. So the Asham sounds like it's treated like the Chatas. The Chatas didn't go completely to Hashem. So Yehoyada Kohen Gadol was bothered with this pasuk. What does it mean? Asham who? Asham, Asham Lashem. So he said, Zayaka. Kol Shubam Mishum Chatas Mishum Ashma. It's possible for a person to have put away money, and the purpose of the money was to buy a Chatas and an Asham. But now that money, instead of using to purchase a chatas and an asham, you can end up buying something that goes Lashem. You look at them oilas. You can end up buying oilas. An oila, that's cool to go. That goes Lashem. Habasa Lashem. What's the halacha with an oila? The basa goes Lashem. The oira is the kayanim. And the oira goes to the kayanim. Nimsu shnei ksuvim kayamim. And by doing that, you can reconcile the psukim. Asham Lashem. That's going to be true as it relates to the basa. The asham is going to go to Hashem. But asham lekayim. And at the same time, the asham is going to go to the kayin. Because even that asham that goes Lashem, but at the same time, the R, even of an oila, goes to a kayin. I mean, there's another pasuk that says, Kesef Asham, the Kesef Chatois, Lo Yuva Beis Hashem, Le Kayhanim Yiyu. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. But the point is that the Mishnah just brought the drasha of Yoyada Kohen Gadol to give an example of where money that was hektish was taken, and it was really changed in terms of what it was going to be used for. Even though initially it was set aside to be used for one thing, but it was altered and it was used instead for something else. The example over here was, Kol shehu ba mishum chatas u'mishum asham. So someone had a chiyuv to bring a chatas. So he put away $100. He figures he's going to buy a chatas. He goes to the shuk and he was able to buy the chatas for $90. What does he do with the extra $10? So you can't bring it as a nedava of chatas, because chatas is not baba nedava. So it went into this fund, it went into one of these shayfers, and it was brought as an oila for kitzah mezbeach. That's this drasha that the Gemara is going to talk about, that Yehoyada Kohen Gadol said. Either way, the Mishnah discussed the 13 shayfars. We mentioned the 13 ishtachavayas, the 13 shulchanos, and now we have the 13 shayfars. What was the purpose of the 13 shayfars? So 6 of them were for nedava, and the other 7, the Mishnah went on to describe each one of them. Zok de Gemara. So the first one was tiklin chadatin. That's very straightforward. That's the new machzas hashakel. This year's machzas hashakel, you can deposit in the shayfar. The second one is the tiklin atikin. That's if you're giving last year's machzas hashakel. It's going to be used for something else. It has to be kept separately. The third and the fourth were kinin and goizle oila, respectively. And we had a machloikis in the Mishnah as to what these two shayfras were. Rabbi Yehuda said, kinim were used for toirin, geiz le'yayla were used for the b'nei yayna. These are the two types of birds that someone can, if he wants, bring as a carbon. So there was a separate shayfar for the toirin, there was a separate shayfar for the b'nei yayna. But Rabbi Yehuda said they were all oilas. And the reason they were all oilas is because Rabbi Yehuda held that these shayfras were only used for nedavas. So if someone wasn't obligated to bring a knife, but he decided at the goodness of his heart that's something he wants to do, so then you could deposit in the shayfers, we're going to go ahead, we're going to be makrivit. But it was only used for nedava, as opposed to what? As opposed to someone that has an obligation to bring a garban and is fulfilling an obligation bringing kinin. That was not used. That's what Rabbi Yehuda held. Being that it was only used for nedava, that's why Rabbi Yehuda said kula noilas, because only an oila can be brought by nedava. A chatas not. There's only two possibilities. A bird can be either an oila or a chatas. An oila is bab nedava. A chatas is not bab nedava. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita was it had to be oilas, because Rabbi Yehuda held that it's only oifas that are bab nedava that were put into these shayfas. So what are the two shayfas that are all oilas? Oh, must be the two types of birds. One is the tayrim and the other one's b'nei yayin. Chachamim argued, because the chachamim held that no, it didn't have to be dafke nedavas. It can bring even a chayf. So if someone has an obligation to bring a knife, even that chayva you could deposit into one of these shayfaras. So say the chachamim, no, the didn't have to be an oil, it could even be a chatas. If that's the case, that's what the delineation was. That's what these two shayfaras were. One was for the chayvas. That's echad chatas vechad oil, because whenever you're bringing oifas as a chayv, there's always going to be a chatas and there's always going to be an oil. The other one was that said goiz le'oila. That was all the oilas, because that was the one that was for nedava. So really, at the core of the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, what the purpose of these two shayfaras that we use for kinim was whether or not you were able to deposit money for a oif that you were obligated to bring, or whether it was only finadava. So the Gemara explains, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Lehoye shofer shel kinim b'Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm not comfortable with there ever have been shofaris that we use for kinei chayva, for a can that somebody was obligated to bring. And the reason is, mipnei ha-taruvis. Because I'm worried there's going to be a taruvis. There's going to be a yerideya problem. And this is a heteron. What's the issue? Shema Thomas Achas. He's like, I'm afraid what's going to happen if one of the people that were obligated to bring these oifas died. Now, if this person dies, so it comes out that the money that's in the shofar, that's associated with the chatos, only the chatos, of this person that died, is now what's known in the vernacular as a chatos shemesu baleh. Now, what's the halacha of a chatos shemesu baleh? Reuven was mafish a carbon chatos, because he was mechal Shabbos peshoiging, and then he died. So the halacha is, this chatos is lemisa azla. It's one of the chamish chatos hamesis. What if Reuven was mafish money to purchase a carbon chatos, and then he dies? So the money has the equivalent thereof of means he can't kill the money, but it's hoylech le'ibud. You have to throw it in the Yam HaMelech. So Rabbi Yehuda said, what happens if someone's going to put money in the shofar, he's going to go home, and then he's going to die. You're going to find out later that there was a situation. All the money is going to be messed up now. Mipnei ha-taruvis, because there's chatash shemesu baleh, money of chatash shemesu baleh inside this taruvis, and that's going to be a problem. So it's going to come out, dmei chatois, meses murovis ben, and that's the issue. Freak the Gemara, is that true? Is Rabbi Yehuda really worried about this? For time, we're going to price issues on Rabbi Eli Khan. If a woman said that I want to bring a Khan, now usually a Rabbi Eli sounds like it's a neder or it's an adover. You're bringing something that you're not really obligated to bring, but it's clear from the sugya that that's not what this price is referring to. It's talking about someone that had a chiyuv. So this person, a woman, she said, "Arei olai kan, I'm bringing a kan because I'm obligated to bring a kan." So the halach is meviyah to make kan. She could put it into the shayfer. Okay, that's already not like what Rabbi Yehuda said. She could eat kachim that evening. What's the chiddush? The atzlei kahuna that we saw in the end of Arvei Pesachim, noiser toma. Right, you don't have to be worried about the atzlei kahuna. You could assume kahanim's reason him, and they're going to for sure take care of business. Additionally, the coin doesn't have to be concerned. Shemed mechatois meses murovis ben. You don't have to be worried that maybe this woman died and maybe all the money is now a problem because he had inside of it a taruvis of chatish meisubala. So what do you see from here? Not like Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the Gemara asking? A kasha from a brisa on Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is a Tanu Upalik. So Pasha, the Gemara's kasha is that why is there no Rabbi Yehuda mentioned over here? If Rabbi Yehuda holds, like he said in our Mishnah, that you never deposited the chayva money inside the shofar, because what happens if the person dies? So how come the Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue in the Mishnah? So the Gemara, to reconcile this question, even though it seems to be a subtlety, the question, because Rabbi Yehuda could just argue with the Braisa, but Zok the Gemara, ki kamina bechatois shemesu baleim vade. All this price has said was, Koin doesn't have to be concerned that maybe this woman died. Okay. But what happens if we find out that the woman died? We're not being choshesh that she died. We got a memo. There's a levaya. We know that she passed away. Then already it's going to be a problem. So Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm asking, it's not that I'm concerned that maybe she's going to die. And therefore, if you have no information, it's a problem. I'm asking, if you did it b'diyeved, you don't have to worry. But at the same time, don't do all the katchila, because maybe you're going to find out that she died. And if that's the case, you're going to run into an issue. But the Gemara asks another kash, and that is, v'iyam rinon, okay, niver arba zuzi, v'nishni b'naharo, v'iduch l'shtari. So in Yerushalmi language, this is a question, right? V'iyam rinon, what's the kash? The kash is, what are you worried about? You have a shofar full of money. Let's say there's 1,000 shekel inside this shofar. And there's a concern that maybe one of the oifos, one of the bnei tayrin, one of the bnei yoyna that's supposed to go lechatas, maybe not maybe, we found out that this person died. Okay, so you're going to tell me there's a taruvis over here, so why don't you just take out the equivalent of that, throw it away, and like this, everything else is going to be mutter. And what's the kasha? What kind of kasha is that? You have a taruvis. Right, so you have a taruvis, a vis of a heter. Don't worry, just take out a little bit, throw it away, and everything is going to be good. It's not so simple. That's not the way it works. You have a whole yeridea and basav v'cholav and taruvis, because when you have a taruvis, you have to figure out what the situation is. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Gemara's kasha is, say, yesh breir. The Gemara's kasha is, take something out and say, huvra davalam afreya, that this is what it was, and the Gemara's teretz is, ha'mrinam ba'alma, Rabbi Yehuda less labrei. It's not a kasha, because we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda's shita and shas is, that ain't breir. The truth is, this Gemara is not an easy Gemara on many, many levels. First of all, it's not an easy Gemara, but v'oy, there's a lot of problems with this Gemara. First of all, pashup shat, the Gemara is worried that what happens if one of the owners of the money in the shofar dies, the chatos is now going to be a chatos shemesu baleh. It's going to mess up the whole taruvis. Why is it going to mess up the whole taruvis? What happened to Bittul B'Roiv? What happened to Bittul B'Shishan? I mean, this should be Bittul B'Roif. We're dealing with money. We're not dealing with food. There's no Tam Ke'ikar over here. But what happened to Bittul? L'chayr, there's a Taruv, it's a Bittul. So if there's a Bittul, what happened to the Aloch is a Bittul? Number one. Number two, the Gemara threw in over here that, say Yesh Breira, take a little bit of money, throw it out, and you'll say, Hufra, double my friend, that the money that you got rid of, that was the problematic money. Like, this is not going to be an issue. And the Gemara's only teretz is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitosoy. For Rabbi Yehuda, shit and shas is that ain't breira. Rabbi Nishloim, what's that have to do with breira? What's breira? Breira is you do something right now. You make an erev. Someone's megarish and isha. You do a maisa. At the time that you did the maisa, it's not clear what the definition of the maisa is. So the question is, when something happens later, can you say, Huvra, double my freya, that what I did now was for this? My erev was letzof and it wasn't ledarim. He meant to divorce this wife, not the other wife. But it starts with doing something. Now later will be mevara what happened. You can't take something out of a taruvas, throw it out, and say, Huvra, double my freya, that what? That when the woman deposited the money, that was the money that I threw out now? What's the maisa that we're attaching ourselves now to say yesh breira? These are kashas that the Rishonim, in this case, and Yerushalmi, the Achronim, struggle with. Sok Gemara Vayter. So we're, again, moving along in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is talking about the 13 shayfris. The first one was tiklin chadetin. The second one was tiklin atikin. Keenan goes, we talked a little bit about that. The next one is Eitzim. And then the Mishnah said, as it relates to Eitzim, what was that about? That's about someone that donates wood. Somebody wants to donate wood. Very nice. You want to donate wood. So you have to give the minimum. You give more, it sounds like. But it can't be less than 2 logs of wood. Rabbi Yisni Barabun Omar. Rabba Bar Mamu Boy. That Rabba Bar Mamu posed the following question. And what does posed mean? What does boy? What does shal mean in Yerushalmi? He was suggesting it. It wasn't just like an Ibayilu who he wasn't sure with 2 equal stardom. He had a hunch that this is the way it is, and he put it out that he wanted to hear what the Olam had to say. Amar Hareolai Eitz, maybe Gezerecha. He said if somebody would say Hareolai Eitz, not Eitzim, then you would only bring 1 piece of wood. Eitzim, that's Shnei Gezirei Eitzim. But 8, in the singular, Lechayra should be Gezerecha. Amar Rabba La'azar. So Rabba La'azar said, Mas Nisa, Amar Kein, have a right to from a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? That each one of the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim are viewed as individual karbanas. And if they're viewed as individual karbanas, it makes sense that each gezer is its own carbon. If each gezer is its own carbon, then maybe if somebody says a Reolai Eitz, it makes sense that you would only bring 1. What's the Mishnah? Kehayde Tanin and Taman. A Mishnah in Mesechtes Yuma. The Mishnah says, Shnayim Biyodon, Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. There were 2 kahanim that every single morning would walk up the ramp and they would bring 2 Gzirei Eitzim. Meaning, there was always a fire burning on the Mizbeach. But Afal Pikin, every day they would add 2 Gizri Eitzim to the fire. It was a mitzvah, it's an avodah. This is something that was supposed to be done. And the way it was done was with 2 kayhan. One kayhan would hold 1 of the gizarim, and the other one would hold the other. So Rab La'azar, kayhanid, very gishmak. He said that Bishlam, if you're going to tell me each one of the gizarim is its own entity, each one is what he called a carbon b'fnei atzmai. So you divided it between 2 kayanim. Each kayan is being makriv one of these karbanas. But if the 2 together make up the 1 singular entity, that means each kayan is doing a halba maisa. Why would they have done it that way? It would have made more sense for 1 kayan to do it. So Rab La'azar said, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabun, I hear what you're saying over in the name of Rabba Bar Mamu, who was suggesting he wanted to put it out there, that even though the Mishnah says a Reolai Eitzin and Shnei Gzirim, that's because he said Eitzin Lashon Rabbi. But if you say Reolai Eitzin, you'd bring a Gezer Lashon Yachid. What's the Chiddush that he's saying? That a Gezer is a Zach. And therefore, being that it's a carbon, so if a person said a Reolai Eitzin, he meant the minimum carbon, the Lashon Yachid. Oh, well, you said Eitzin, you meant 2, because that's what you said. But if you said 8, so then you said in the singular, that's the smallest singular carbon. So you're presupposing that each Gezer is its own carbon. So Rabbi Lazar said a Chavarayah from the Mishnah, because if 2 Kayhanim did it, vice each one is an individual thing by itself. The Pasuk says, V'nefesh ki sakriv carbon mincha l'Hashem. Carbon? The word carbon teaches me that there's something called a carbon eitzim. Obviously not for today, but in Masechtas Menachos, there's sugyas that talk about the carbon eitzim. It's Menachos Taf Chav. That's where the Ikra sugya is. And you can have Machshavas Pigol. And you have all the Geshmaka Kachem sugyas that relate to a carbon eitzim. Zok the Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Yomar. On the topic of the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, how big were these 2 logs? I mean, they could be big, they could be small, thick, thin. What were they exactly? So Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Oviyam, they were thick. 1 amma, but amma soichek Sheikhekis. But what type of Amma was it? It was an Amma Sheikhekis. So this is going back to the beginning of Masechtas Erevin. But the Gemara brought a Machlekes Abaye v'Rava. There were two types of Ammas. So we saw just the other day an Amma that's made up of six Tvachim, an Amma that's made up of five Tvachim. There's even an Amma that's bigger than six Tvachim. But even within the Tvachim, there's two different types of Tvachim. A Tefach is made up of four Etzbais. But when you measure your Etzbais, you can put your fingers really tightly next to each other. That's what's known as an Amma Atsefa, where the Tfachim are made up of Etzbois that are a stickle ungesetzt, right? They're frowning a little bit. They're next to each other. Or it could be Breitner, what the Gemara refers to as an Amma Sheikhekes. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ovyan Amma is Ma'amma Sheikhekes. It's talking about the wider one. Va'arkan ba'amma geduma. But as it relates to the length, it was also an Amma. That's the Shnei Gzirei Eitzin. But it's an Amma geduma. It's a shorter Amma. So we're talking about this because the Mishnah is discussing Harelai Eitzim. He brings Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. The Shnei Gizrei Eitzim that you would bring would parallel the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, like the Gemara said, that was brought every morning in the Beis HaMikdash. How big were those Eitzim? And therefore, by extension, how big would the Eitzim of our Mishnah have to be? Oivyan Amma and Arkan Amma, but a different Amma. One was a big Amma, one was a small Amma. Rab Chayni B'Shem Rabami said, Kemin Turtani. No, the thickness wasn't an Amma, but rather the thickness was like the pole that the Maznayim, the scales, hang from. Amr Rav Shlomo Rav Yitzchak, the Fishnali Hayu Makan Ma'aroch El Amma Al Amma. The reason the Gizrei Eitzim were an Amma, why so small? It's because the Makam Hamarocha was really only an Amma by Amma. The Fichachli Hayu by El Amma Geduma. And that's when they made it an Amma, not just an Amma, a shorter Amma. Said like this, there should be a little bit of wiggle room because it's so tight in terms of what the area was. But Tani Kane, how do you know the Makam Amarach was only an Amma and Amma? We know from the following Braisa. Amma HaYesoid, the Yesoid of the Mizbech was an Amma. Amma Soivet, the Soivet was an Amma. Amma Karkov, the Karkov was an Amma. Amma Kronos, the Kronos were an Amma. The Amma Marochna and the Makam of the Marocha was an Amma as well. The Mishnah then mentioned the Levoina. That was another one of the Shaifaris. And that was meant for Levoina. So what's that all about? That's for somebody that says, Harei Olai Levoina. Somebody says, I want to make a donation. What's the donation? Frankincense. Levoina, that's what he wants to give. So the Mishnah said, Layivchais mi kaimitz. What's the share? The share is, you have to give a kaimitz. So the kaimitz is always the share of a mincha. So we're really borrowing a share. The share of the mincha, that's what the share is going to be over here. Zok de Gemara. How do you know that? Nemekan, it says over here regarding the Levoina of the Lechem Aponim. Askara. If never lalon, it says regarding your classic mincha schayte askara. Maskara amel lalon like kaimitz. Just like how much went on the mizbeach by a mincha, how much of the soil was, it was always a kaimitz. That's the shir. Af askara amar kan. So too, where it says askara by the levain of the lechem aponim like kaimitz, it's also a kaimitz. So we're discussing someone that said harei alai levain. We're not talking about the lechem aponim. Someone that made a donation, he wants to give levain. That's his gift that he's giving to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So we're going to learn the shir of Arei Alai Levoina from a Levoina that the Torah talks about, the Levoina of the Lechem Aponim. So before the Kana were able to eat from the Lechem Aponim, there was a Haktara that was done, Shnei Bezichei Levoina. So the Levoina first went on the Mizbeach, and that was matter the Lechem Aponim to be eaten. By that Levoina, the Levoina of the Lechem Aponim, it says Askara. By the Mincha, it says Askara, which tells me that it's the same shir. The Mincha we know is a Kaimitz, the Levoina is a Kaimitz. Oh, if that Levoina is a Kaimitz, this Levoina is also going to be a Kaimitz. Ifreit Gemara, Malahalot, Shnei Kum. The lechem aponim was shnei bezichei levoina. Each one is a kaimitz, so come out together. It's two. So if it's two over there, so maybe a reilai levoina should also be two. Amar Rabbi Ilo, so Rabbi Ilo said, "Klum lamdu la kaimitz al miminchas chayte." We just said the mekarta the kaimitz is from the minchas chayte. Now malah al kaimitz chasse. The halach is that just like a kaimitz chasse is a problem, it has to be a full kaimitz. If you're missing some of the kaimitz, you do the kmitz of the kaimitz, and then he's missing some of the kaimitz, you're out. Af kan kaimitz a chasse basa. So the halach is by the shnei bezichei levoina. Each kaimitz had to be complete, and if it was missing a little bit, it's going to be a problem. Okay, what's the teretz? What do you see from here? Again, this was the Gemara's teretz, which in Yerushalmi is very short, so we have to do a little bit of work. What the Gemara means to say is that if each koimetz of the Bezichei Levoina, if it were to be chaser, would be a problem. You know what you see from here? That the shear of the Shnei Bezichei Levoina is not one shear of two koimetzes, but rather it's really a koimetz times two. Meaning each one of the Bezichei Levoina is its own kaimitz. You just have to bring two of them. But the shear is a kaimitz. It's not two kmatzim. Because if the shear was two kmatzim, even if one of the kmatzim was chaser, then you should be able to make it up with the other one. From the fact that you can't make it up with the other one, because a kaimitz achas is possible by the lechem aponim, just like it's possible by the mincha, so I say merits, the shear is two individual kmatzim. If it's two individual kmatzim, that means the minimum shear of Levoina is a kaimitz. Oh, if that's the case, Harei Alai Levoina is going to bring a kaimitz. I mean, what's the kasha? We're learning Harei Alai Levoina
from the Levain of the Lachim Aponim. The Levain of the Lachim Aponim wasn't one Kmatzim, it was two Kmatzim. The Teretz says, it's true it was two Kmatzim. That's only because you were bringing two donations. But it's not that it was one shear of two. If Vaharaya, because if one of them is chasen, then you have a problem. Why do you have a problem? Just make it up with the other one. If together they complement each other, if this is a yagad al avreya, so what should be the problem? Oh, must be that two individual shiurim, each shear is a koimetz. If each shear is a koimetz, then it's very good. Why the shear of Arei Lai Levaina is going to be one koimetz, not two kmatzim. Amar Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi said, based on Hanal, based on we just said, Milsed Rab Eilo Amra Hamisnadev Levaina Mavia Bekoimetz Yishol Koyin. I think that if someone's misnadev Levaina, he has to bring a koimetz, and it has to be the koimetz of a koyin, or in parentheses, of a koyin gadol. The halacha was that when the Levaina was brought, they used to take the koimetz of a larger koyin. So being that it was used with a larger koyin, now we're learning Arei Lai Levaina from there. So if someone says Arei Lai Levaina, he can't take his own koimetz, but rather he would have to find a koyin that's a koyin gadol that has large hands. He would have to use his koyin in order to be able to figure out what the shear is going to be. Reb Chizkiya b'shem Reb Yirmiyah said, "Fafilu b'koyimetz b'ayin." No, it's not true. You can even use the koyimetz of the b'ayin. One final gemara. Zahav. If someone says a realized Zahav, so what's the halacha? Yifchais medina Zahav. You can't give less than a dinar Zahav. Amr Blaz, Rablaz said, Fusha iska tzura. This is only true if he mentioned gold that has a tzura on it, has a picture, or something engraved in it. Avalam loy iska tzura. But if he didn't mention specifically tzura, maybe I feel it's tzinayr, then you don't have to bring a dinar Zahav. A dinar Zahav is expensive. You wouldn't have to bring a dinar Zahav. If you would want, you'd be able to bring something even cheaper, something of less value, exhale. So two ha'aris. A little bit lighter, as it relates to today's daf. So the Gemara began talking about the 10 shulchanos of Shlomo HaMelech and the 10 menorahs of Shlomo HaMelech. So in the Mishkan, there was one menorah and there was one shulchan. But the Psukim say that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, Vayas Esa Menorahs, Vayas Esa Shulchanos, he went ahead and he made 10 additional menorahs and he made 10 additional shulchanos. And the Gemara went on to darshan different Psukim and Divrei Hayomim that talk about Shlomo HaMelech making specifically the menorahs. And one of the Psukim that the Gemara darshan was, it says, Vahaperach Vahaneirois, Vahamelka Chayim Zohavu, Michlois Zahav. So what does it mean, Michlois Zahav? Hein Kilu Zahav Yishol Shlomo. That when Shlomo HaMelech made his menorahs, he literally wasted. He consumed, he went through all the gold that he had. So Shlomo HaMelech, this is Shlomo B'Shaito. He had a lot of gold, and there was a lot of gold that was expended trying to make these menorahs. What's the reason? So the Gemara explained, Tani Rav Yehuda, B'Shem Asi, Hoya Shlomo Noitel Elof Kikri Zav. Shlomo HaMelech would take 1,000 Kikri Zav, and he would put it into a furnace, into a core, U'Maitziyam, because he was refining it. Ad Shum Amidan Alechot. So literally, 1,000 Kikri Zav ended up turning into one Kikri. What happened to everything else? Michloi Zahav. It sounds like it went to waste. And because it went to waste, that's what the Pasuk means when it says Michloi Zahav. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. The Gemara said, is that true? They were able to refine the gold like that? Tanya, but we learned in another price. Amr Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa, there was a story ben Menoiras Mikdash. Yosi Yisera Menoirash Asa Moshe ben Midbar Dina Zahav. There was a Menoirah in the second base of Mikdash that they weighed, and it was a little bit bigger than the Menoirah of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chnisu lakur shmoinim pam, and they put it into refinery 80 times, and they couldn't get it to be any smaller. So that's a stira. Here you see they went from 1,000 down to 1. Here there was a little knetch that they were trying to diminish, and they couldn't even do it. So the Gemara says, v'yolos, which in Yerushalmi means, and the Teretz is, yeah, initially they were able to refine it, but once it got to a point, they couldn't refine it anymore, and that's what this is referring to. This is referring to the point that it got to where they were no longer able to refine it. A little bit of background. The Chafetz Chaim, of course, wrote the Mishnah Berurah. He also wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, and many, many other svarim. One of the svarim the Chafetz Chaim wrote is called the Kutei Halachos, which are halachos, almost like the Mishnah Berurah, halachos in different areas in halacha, most notably in Kachin. And when the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Likutei Halachos on Masechtes Zvachim and Menachos, he sent a copy to Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro of Chachmei Lublin, of Daf Yomi fame. And Rav Meir Shapiro, when he received the Likutei Halachos, was very happy. And he sat down, he went through it, and he sent ha'aris back to the Chafetz Chaim. And he wrote him a letter with 7 ha'aris
on the Sefer Likutei Halachos. And these seven Ha'aras are printed in the Shailos Tshuvos Oir HaMeir. That's from Meir Shapiro's Shailos Tshuvos. It's Simen Beis. El Yedid Elyon. This is where Meir Shapiro addressed the Tshuva. Chosin Shebekuhuna HaGoyen HaTzadik HaMefursim B'chol HaOilam Zokin V'yoshev V'yeshiva HaRabbi Yisrael Meir HaKoyen Shlita Bala Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And he writes to him, thank you very much. I received the Sefer and I went through it and it's not Shaykh. And I'm just jotting down a few Ha'aras. And he sent him seven Ha'aras. The seventh Ha'ara that Rameir Shapiro sent to Chafetz Chaim on the Likutei Halachos on Zvachim HaMenachos was regarding a Psak Halacha that the Chafetz Chaim said. Chafetz Chaim held Yishalun Kachim, not because the Derech Halim or Islamdish. Chafetz Chaim held Yishalun Kachim because Meheri Yibane Beis HaMikdash, and he felt that Yidin Befrat Koyanim, they have to be fluent, they have to know Kachim. He also felt there's an idea of Unesham Beparim Sfasenu, and when you learn the Sugis in Kachim, Shveris Sugis, it's as if you're bringing Karbonis every single day. So the Chafetz Chaim said, as it relates to the Menorah, the shear of the menorah was kikar zahav tar. Yasna said, had to be a kikar of zahav tar. That's what the shear was. Said the Chafetz Chaim that I hold that shear was only lekatchila. However, b'dieved, if you would make it smaller or if you would make it bigger, it would be okay. Meaning this whole shear was only a shear lekatchila. But as it relates to b'dieved, it's going to be fine. This is one of the piskei halacha that the Chafetz Chaim brings in his Likutei Halachos. So Meir Shapiro told the Chafetz Chaim, I think I have a raya berura to you upside. Now the Gemara that Rameh Shapiro quoted is Gemara Masechtes Menachos Daf Chof Tes Amid Aleph, but it's also in Yerushalmi Masechtes Shkol and Daf Yud Ches. It's the Gemara that we just learned. The Gemara said that there was a menorah in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash that weighed a little bit more. It weighed a little bit more than the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning it weighed a little bit more than a kikar zav. And because it weighed a little bit more of a kikar zav, they tried refining it. They tried getting it smaller, and they went through the refinery 80 times, they couldn't do it. And they couldn't accomplish it. And as a result, it was fafalin. But this was something that they were trying to do. Rashi, Masechtes Menachos, on that Gemara, Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph says, what was this menorah? Where did they get this menorah from? They had a menorah, it weighed a little bit more than the kikar zav, 80 times, and they couldn't get it down to the shit that they were trying to get it down to. So Rashi says that this came from Shlomo HaMelech. It was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs. It was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs. I mean that it was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs. This is what it was. It weighed a little too much, and they tried getting it to where they got. So Rameh Shapiro said, I don't understand. If it was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs, then how was Shlomo HaMelech able to use it? It was more than a kikar zav. You have a problem. So he said, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, what do you mean? Who said Shlomo HaMelech's menorahs had to be a kikar zav? Maybe it was only the menorah of the menorah that had to be a kinkazav. Oh, but mehechateis the shloim amelch. Bazak Rameh Shapiro, the chayro make a pash the cheshmet. We had a machlokes in the Gemara. It's in the Bavli. It's also in the Yerushalmi. What exactly did the Kayhanim do with all these additional menorahs? The Chachamim said that what was done with the additional menorahs, they used, it was just there. It was part of the Tzura of the Mishkan. But they never lit those menorahs. But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, it's not true. All these menorahs were lit. Al kulon hayamavir, shenemavas ha-menorah. They used to light all of them. So L'chayr said Rameh Shapiro, it should be totally in this machlokes. According to the Chachamim, that they didn't light the menorah, so they were just there. Okay, so Mustamir wasn't ma'akif for it to measure a kinkar zav. But according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that they used to light it, L'chayr you would think it should have to be a perfect kinkar zav. If you'd be mekayim the mitzvah of Adlokas Haneiros, not with one menorah, but with 11 menorahs, so L'chayr it shouldn't have to be the shir. It's a pash the cheshmen. So Meir Shapiro said a dover nifla. He said, look at the braiso, Tanya, Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa, B'menoyrus, Mikdash, Oisi, Yisei, Rabbi Noir, Shasem, Moshe, B'amid, B'adin, Azov. You know what the tan of this braiso is? It's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. It's the same Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda that was a Das Yochid that held that. What did they do with Shlomo HaMelech's menoyrus? They used to light those menoyrus. So he says, I don't understand. How could Rashi, Menachos, Choftes, Amin, Aleph, be Mefarish? That what was the origin of this menoyrus? It was one of Shlomo HaMelech's menoyrus. How could it be? We're going in Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's shita was that those menorahs had a din of Adlokas HaMenorah. The Balois HaSaneris that was Niskayim in the Mishkan with one menorah was Niskayim with 11 menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, the Chayrut should have to be a Kikazov. If it should have to be a Kikazov, it was more than a Kikazov. How do you know it was more than a Kikazov? Because they tried refining it. They wanted to get it to the Kikazov. So there was an Akshadara, and Vaisleis, they tried getting it to the proper shear. Oh, but Vaisleis said, Rameh Shapiro, we told the Chafetz Chaim, it's clear to me that they lit in Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash with a menorah that was more than a kikar zav. And he says if they lit with it with a menorah that was more than a kikar zav, it's pasha, you can use a menorah that was less than a kikar zav as well. In fact, he quoted Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, kikar zav tar, shelo yeh mishkala im kol keileh elo kikar loy pachas v'lo yoyser. There's no difference between pachas or yoyser. And once you have a makar, that it could be more, that the v'lo yoyser is not ma'akiv, l'chayr, this is a makar, that it could be less, that the loipachas is not ma'akiv either. So Rav Meir Shapiro, in the seventh ta'ara to the Chafetz Chaim, on the Sefer Likutei Halachos, this is what he told him. Incidentally, in Simen Gimel, Rav Meir Shapiro wrote the Chafetz Chaim's response. He wrote back, did the Chafetz Chaim to Rav Meir Shapiro, El Kvoy Darab HaGoyin HaGadol HaMefursin, Begoy Niyusoy V'Reimemusoy, Yorei Elikim Be'emes, Rav Meir Shapiro Shlita, Ha'ayvid Desanik. And he writes to him, did the Chafetz Chaim, that Achrei Droi Sholem Hadras Goinoi Bahava Kibalti Mechtovei Atahar Im Haroisa Vayikoris Al Sifri Lukutei Halachos V'Toida Rabba LaGoyin Shlita Al Haroisa Vayikoris. He said, thank you very much for sending me these Haoris. He said, Sameach Anilim Ma'oid. He says, I'm very happy, Beroi, that I see Shanoshim Gidoilim Kamoyu Ya'ainu B'Sifri. He says, I'm very happy. I see that someone choshev like you is learning my Sefer. Ashetia l'schus gam li. Because that means it's going to be a schus for me. Another reason to learn Chafetz Chaim, I suppose. See, the Chafetz Chaim expressed how much it meant to him when he heard that Rav Meir Shapiro was learning his Sfarim. U'ma'od rat sisi la'anois la'hadras goyin shlita al ha'roisav ha'yikorois pe'etzim ksavyad. He says, the truth is, I'd love to respond to you with my own ksavyad. Meaning, I'd love to sit down now and write a response. Avul mepnei enei ha'chalusha malai. He says, my eyes are very weak. La'yacholti, it's difficult for me. Shekoshalai ma'od malachas ha'ksiva. He says, it's very hard for me to write. Va'asayim bebrocha. He says, I'm not going to write a response, but instead I'm going to give you a bracha. Sheyichaskeyo Hashem l'toira u'l'teuda l'sheves b'menucha ba'olei Hashem l'umaydu l'laminas ha'toira k'doisha v'yamtzeyo Hashem l'avid avoidosei ba'olei yefes l'simchas lev kol b'nei Yisrael hanelovim v'hanenokim k'miyamid l'yamina m'mloy g'doy l'izmanenu manigem. It's interesting, the bracha that the Chafetz Chaim gave Rav Meir Shapiro was twofold. He said, you should be zoicha l'umaydu l'laminas. Of course, Rav Meir Shapiro, Yeshivas Chachmi Lablin, this is before Chachmi Lablin, but this is Tafresh Chav Dalet incident. Tafresh Pei Dalet, that's when this was written. But the point is that this was before Chachmi Lablin, but of course, Rav Meir Shapiro was Zoycha Lilmaidu Lalamid. But in addition to that, Rav Meir Shapiro was a big Askin, and he was in the Russian government and the Polish government. He was fighting and representing the Jewish people, Ki Yadu. He was very charismatic, he was a great speaker, and he represented the Jewish people. So the Chafetz Chaim gave him a bracha that he should be Matzliach Ba'olei Shem, and he should be Matzliach Ba'olei Yefes, which is interesting. This was the bracha that he gave him. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't give him a response. But afterwards, a short while later, Rav Meir Shapiro received another letter, and this was from the Chafetz Chaim's Eidim, Rav Menachem Yosef Shlita. And Rav Menachem Yosef sat down, and he wrote the Chafetz Chaim's responses on behalf of his grace, the Shver, the Chafetz Chaim. He responded to three of the ha'aris of Rav Meir Shapiro. Unfortunately, he didn't respond to this ha'ara, so I don't know if there was a rebuttal or, I mean, Rav Meir Shapiro was bringing a raya to the Chafetz Chaim Shita, but either way, this is a ga'onis from Rav Meir Shapiro in the Shailus Uchuvas Oira Meir. It's in Simon Beis, it's a shakla v'tayr, it's a correspondence between Rav Meir Shapiro and the Chafetz Chaim with regards to a Rashi and Masechtas Menachos, Daf Chavtes Amar Aleph. So we hear about mices and anecdotes, but at the end of the day, it came down to a shakla v'tayr and horving over a Rashi and Menachos, Daf of Tesam and Aleph, and a Machlekes Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, which is also here in Shkolim, Daf Yudches. That's the first aura. The second aura is the topic, again, of the first part of the Daf, and really, the last part of yesterday's Daf, was the Shulchan and the Menorah. The Achronim bring that the Trumas HaDeshen, as the Kasher. If you look in Parashas Truma, so the Torah mentions, first, the parsha of the Shulchan, and afterwards the parsha of the Menorah. So when the Torah goes through the Seidah Advarim of all the Kalim, it mentions first the Shulchan and then the Menorah. And the Trumas HaDeshen was bothered with this question. Trumas HaDeshen said, why first the Shulchan and then the Menorah? He said, L'chayr, you would think it should be the opposite. You would think it should be first the Menorah and afterwards the Shulchan. Why? Mechteis, if it would be the Menorah, you would say, why the Menorah first? He says, no. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Basra, Haroitza Lahachkim Yadrim, V'haroitza Lahasher Yatzvim. The menorah was on the Dorim side, today's daf, of the Hechmo. And the menorah represented Torah. So Haroitza Lahachkim, if somebody wants Chachma Yadrim, when he daven Shmein Esrei, he should face a little bit to the Dorim. Haroitza Lahachkim Yadrim. If somebody wants parnasa, somebody wants ashiras, yatzvin, you should go towards Safon. Why? Because the shulchan that had the lechem upon him, the yud beis chalas, and had the parnasa of Klal Yisrael on it, that was on the Safon side. So the menorah represented chachmas atayra, chachmas adam ta'ir panav, like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yoyne that we had earlier in the Masechna, and the shulchan represented the parnasa. If that's the case, break the trumas hadeshen, what's more chashiv? So why did the Torah mention first? Why did the Torah mention first the Shulchan and only afterwards did it mention the Menorah? So before the Trumas Hadeshen's Teretz, parenthetically, the Briskerov, and this is in Sefer, it's in the Griz Ala Torah, it's in Parshas Emor, in brackets, Kiyodua, in brackets. So he brings, regarding this ha'aret, doesn't quote the Trumas Hadeshen, but he said that he heard Shamati Miadoni Avi Mori VeRabbi Agoyin Achosid Zeicha Tzadik VeKadosh Levrach. He heard from his father Reb Chaim Briska. The Reb Chaim said that why was it that the Torah mentioned first the Shulchan and then the Menorah? So he said classic. He said because the pasuk when it talks about where exactly the Shulchan and the Menorah was supposed to be, we saw this pasuk in today's daf. It says Vesamtes Hashulchan Michutz LaParoiches. The Shulchan was supposed to be on the other side of the Paroiches, and then the pasuk says Ves HaMenorah Noichach Hashulchan. The Menorah was supposed to be face on the Shulchan. Al Tzela HaMishkan Teimana. So the Shulchan was supposed to be Michutz LaParoiches. Where was the Menorah? The Menorah was Noichach Hashulchan. So Reb Chaim said the Mokim of the Menorah was Noichach Hashulchan. That's what the Torah said. Vesamtas amenorah noichach hashulchan. He said the Torah had to say the parish of the shulchan first, because if there's no shulchan, then there's no makam amenorah. If there's no makam amenorah, how are you making a menorah? You have nowhere to put it. It's because the heftza of the makam of the menorah was noichach hashulchan. The shulchan vesamtas hashulchan michutz l'pareiches. Okay, that has a place. The place is michutz l'pareiches. What does it mean? We saw a little bit in today's daf, 2.5 hours, whatever it was. But there was a makam for the shulchan, but there was no menorah for the menorah. And being there was no menorah for the menorah, because the makam menorah was noichach hashulchan. So the Brisker Rav said Shamati, he heard from Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim said, "Lefisha menorah mekoyma noichach hashulchan." The chos manchloi hoya oid hashulchan. As long as there was no shulchan, oid loy hook for makam amenorah. The tzarich losum tchilas hashulchan. The achakach amenorah noichach hashulchan. That's what Reb Chaim said. But the Shulchan Aruch said a different teretz, more al derech drush, more al derech machshava. He said it's true. There's no question in the world that the menorah is more chashav than the shulchan. The menorah represents Torah. The shulchan represents gashmias. So of course, there's no question. But at the same time, we know in ein kemach ein Torah. And if a person doesn't have kemach, a person doesn't have parnasa, then it's going to be very difficult for him to be able to learn. So said the Trumas Hadeshen, the reason the shulchan was mentioned first is not because it's more chashav, but the reason it's mentioned first is simply because it's necessary. It's a thing that you have to have, a necessity, in order for you to be able to learn Torah. And the Trumas Hadeshen said, Remez Ledavar, is that wherever the Torah talks about Yisachar and Zvulun, Zvulun's mentioned before Yisachar. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisnecha, v'yisachar b'yalecha. So he said, why is Zvulun mentioned before Yisachar? It's not because Zvulun is more chashiv than Yisachar. Yisachar is more chashiv than Zvulun. It's not a question. But at the same time, Yisachar can't have a kiyum without Zvulun. Because the main kemach Torah. So said the Trumas Hadeshen, and that's why the Torah in Parashas Truma, when the Torah went through the Shulchan and the Menorah and mentioned first the Shulchan, not the Menorah, and then the Menorah, usually you would think whatever's mentioned first is more chashav, but in this case it's not because it was more chashav. The Menorah was more chashav than the Shulchan. What the Menorah represented was more chashav than what the Shulchan represented. But at the same time, you needed the outcome of the Shulchan in order to get to the outcome of the Menorah. I mean that was sort of a necessary step. So for that reason, it was mentioned in that Seder. So I saw that Chassam Sofer, in the Torah's Moshe, he brings this Trumas Hadeshen, and he adds one Ha'ara. He says, if that's the case, L'chayra Yesh La'ara. So because the Shulchan is not the first one of the Kelim that I mentioned either. What's the first Keli that's mentioned in Parashas Truma? It's the Aron. It's the Aron, and then it's the Shulchan, and then it's the Menorah. What did the Aron represent? The Aron represented Torah. What did the Aron have inside of it? The Luchais. The Shivrei Luchais, according to one sheet, that had the Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, we know all the Machshava that we've heard all the years, Aron Noises, Noisav, because really the Loimdei Torah are the ones that are supporting the Machzikei Torah. You're not letting remove the Badim from the side of the Aron. Why not? To show that the Machzikei Torah always have to be together with the Torah. That's why all the measurements of the Aron are halves. I'm assigning the chetzi, I'm a chetzi. All the machshava, all the Torah and Parshas Truma. The Aron represents Torah. It's afraid to chasam soifa. I don't understand the Truma Sadeshim. Truma Sadeshim made a whole cheshbin. The Shulchan's before the Menorah. You know why the Shulchan's before the Menorah? Because Zvulun always comes before Yisachar. Because it's mach Zvulun mitzaysacha, and only afterwards Yisachar by Yolecha. So you said, that's very nice, the Shulchan and Menorah. But what about the Aron? The Aron also represents Torah. And the Aron came first. So Aron Teichiach, it's a pirch on the whole shtuk of Torah. The so the Chassam Sofer said, Weistois is two dinim. He said, Weistois, the Aron represented Torah and the Menorah represented Torah. But the Torah that the Aron represents and the Torah that the Menorah represents is not the same Torah. He says the Aron represents Torah that has a shaychus to every single yid. The basic, bare minimum responsibility that every single yid in Klal Yisrael has. Every single yid has an obligation to learn Torah. And that obligation to learn Torah is in Ein Kemach or in Yesh Kemach. It makes no difference. Every single yid has to learn Torah. In fact, the Rambam says, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, classic Lashon HaRambam, Kol Ishmi Yisrael Chai B'Talmud Torah. Every single yid has an obligation to learn Torah. Bein Oni, Bein Asher, Bein Sholim Begufei, Bein Bal Yisurim, Bein Bacher, Bein Shoy Yizokul, Zokin Gadol Shetosh Ashkoichai, Afilu Oni HaMechazer Ala Psochim, of Arvi Psochim fame, Vafilu Bal Isha Ubonim, Chayiv Likvoy Leizman L'Talmud Torah, B'yoyim U'Belayla Shenemar, V'Gisim HaYoyim V'Layla, Tzedek Chassam Sofer, when it comes to the basic chiv of Talmud Torah, Bein Oni, Bein Asher, it doesn't matter who the person is, every single yid has to learn Torah. That comes before the Shulchan. What was the Menorah? The Menorah represented Torah. But the Menorah represented Madregis and Torah. Kafteirel, Shkeidel, Prochel. And he says that these already are things that Alpi Kabbalah represent Madregis and Pilpul, Madregis in Eon, in Pnimius HaTorah, Madregis in Kabbalah. These are Hoicha Madregis. Oh, those Madregis in Torah, that already is true. Over there, it's going to be an Ein Kemach in Torah. So the Chassam Sofer said they're both true. There's an idea of an Ein Kemach in Torah. That's an often quoted Mishnah. But the Chassam Sofer says a little bit misquoted, because it's true in Ein Kemach in Torah. But that just means to reach Madregis. Right? Most Yidden tried being Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. They tried learning Torah without Kemach, and it didn't work out. Because at the end of the day, it ain't kemach in Torah. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. But that doesn't mean that if a person doesn't have kemach, he doesn't have to learn Torah. To the contrary, kol ishmi Yisrael chai b'talmud Torah. It doesn't matter who you are, like the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches and Hilchos Talmud Torah. So said Chassam Sofer, both of these ideas are symbolized. Both of these ideas, Amirum is right here in the parsha of Truma. You have the Aron before the Shulchan, to throw that bein ani, bein asher, doesn't matter what the person's going through in life. Every single yid, it's chayev likbaya, he has an obligation to be kiveit in batayra, bayoyim and balayla, and that's symbolized by the first one of the kelim that I mentioned is the Aron. The Eresh Tezach is the Aron. The first thing is va'asuli Aron, right? Every yid has an obligation to be a shutif. It's something that every single yid has a shaychis to. Doesn't matter who a person is and what situation he's going through at that time in life, every yid has an obligation to be kiveit in batayra. After that, there's madregis. Oh, you want to take it to the next level? Because in Ein Kemach Ein Torah, and without a zvulin, Yisachar can't sustain himself. It's not possible for him to do what he does unless there's a zvulin behind him. And just like the smach zvulin b'tzeisecha, and then Yisachar b'yalecha, said the Trumas Hadeshin, first you have the Shulchan, then the Menorah. Then afterwards, if a person zoicha, he could be zoicha to the kafteret, the brachet, the shkeideh, then he could be zoicha to the madrig of the Menorah.